Before I preach, I want all of us to take a moment of silence to remember those that we have laid to rest out of this community, those who have inherited eternal life in Jesus Christ. We miss them, for they formed us in faith, and this church was built upon their service to everlasting God. They nurtured the young and the old. They soothed the broken hearts of the grief-stricken, and they nurtured some of us into ministry. We're thankful for their witness, so let us be in a moment of silence for them. Thanks be to God. A brief biographical word. I'm the son of Joanne and Earl Kelchner, the brother of Heather, the proud husband of Keely, who's a native of Tennessee. Many of you will get to meet her this morning as well. I was formed in this community of faith, received my calling in the ministries of this church, and you sent me forward to Randolph-Macon College right up there in Ashland, and then off to Vanderbilt a few years later. Been in Nashville ever since, and I've had the opportunity to plant a campus ministry at Belmont University, to study theological ethics abroad, to serve as a clinical chaplain at Vanderbilt Children's Hospital, to serve as a pastor of global mission and neighborhood ministries at a historic downtown church, to serve as the pastor to a refugee community from Southeast Asia. And just this past July, I was appointed to serve Kingston Springs United Methodist Church just outside of Nashville. I chose this Holy Week text because I think, like Pentecost, it gets to the heart of the nature of Christ's Holy Church. And on a 75th anniversary, if ever there's a day, it's this morning, to look back at what the foundation of the church is, to remember where we have been, so that we may envision where we are being called by God to go. Even in the midst of great suffering, Jesus constitutes new relationships right at the foot of the cross. A grieving mother is instructed that her love and her care and compassion now extends to someone outside of the family bloodline. A friend of Jesus, a faithful disciple, is grafted into a new family and instructed to provide care. I can find no greater and clearer constitution for the church than this, the giving of community members, family members, friends to one another's care, love, and service. Even in the midst of the most unbearable circumstances of life, the grace of God restores us to right relationship in a community that knows the depth of love, always the power of forgiveness, and the height of hope. That is the living call of the church. Bear the love of God in a hope-hungry world. Even when sin and death and evil appear to prevail, and that is often the case, continue to bear the love of God in a hope-hungry world. We're Easter people. We know better. We've tasted the sweetness of hope in Christ. We've seen transformation in people's lives, moved from death to life. And we still worship a God whose love is not done with us yet. We know well that we are called. We're sent forth by God to meet the brokenhearted, to meet the grieving right where they are, to house the family that has no place to rest their head. I believe you did this a few weeks ago with Caritas. To feed the children who aren't getting by on free and reduced lunch. To offer a word of grace to a community wrecked by gun violence and tragedy. In other words, the church exists solely to celebrate, to proclaim, and to demonstrate the transformative love and grace of God in Jesus Christ. If and when we ever set that first calling and love of Jesus Christ aside, it's time to close up shop, turn off the lights, and go home. And for churches all across Virginia and Tennessee, this is something that we face every single year. Church membership has aged, a love for the community is long gone. Membership is declining, and there's not much of a vital witness anymore. This very morning, probably at this very hour in downtown Nashville, one of the city's oldest, most historic, most beautiful churches is closing because it long ago fell out of love with its neighborhood. But to contrast those closings, there is nothing more exciting than to witness the life of faith coming together in the planning of a new church. I've had the privilege of watching two friends in recent years plant churches. There's a clarity of calling. There's a deep sense of the movement of God's Spirit. Every single step is bathed in prayer. There's a passion to celebrate what God's grace is doing in people's lives. Back in 1910, there was a little country road heading outside of Nashville, heading south. And the Methodist societies there discerned that it was time to plant a church on the outskirts of the city. When it came time to build, there was torrential rain, maybe like what Keely and I experienced on the drive home last night, and the lumber was washed off of the churchyard. So the men of the church went out to nearby farms, and they brought the lumber back piece by piece, and the building project resumed. 106 years ago, Belmont Episcopal Church South was planted, and it's had a living witness of God's grace ever since. In the 1850s, Kingston Springs, known for the plethora of water coming out of the ground there, there were folks there that banded together to plant what is the church that I now serve. 160 years and going. In July 1941, as I told the children, this building was not here. As you came in this morning, I believe they're black and white photos, and you can chronicle a bit of the church buildings. There was a tent revival taking place that summer. And so the next month, those who had had their hearts strangely warmed and stirred by God's Spirit met again. And the Society of Methodists of Lakeside came together. On September 21st, 1941, as war had broken out in Europe, 81 people sought to bear the love of God in a hope-hungry world. 81 charter members, every single one of them listed in that photo, became members of this church so that we may continue to love this community. On November 25th, 1956, this community consecrated every last one of these cinder blocks to the grace of God that we might have a living witness. 75 and counting and 125 to go. These memories, these deep memories of our origin, creating new family bonds together, remind us that God's grace empowers us, enlivens us, and reminds us that we are called and sent forth. I've told my church in Kingston Springs a few times that the world that we live in, that we work and play in, that Lindsay and I pastor in, is far, far different than when this church was planted and the world that I grew up in. It's uncertain, it's complex. It's ambiguous, it's volatile often. It doesn't take long watching the morning news to feel that evil and death are the prevailing stories. I mentioned this state of the world when preaching on a text in which a religious leader cries out and says, "Jesus, you have no business healing this woman on the Sabbath. There's a rule about that. Wait till tomorrow. It's more convenient." She'd been debilitatingly ill for 18 years. What's another day on 18 years? It's a line in the commandments of the Torah that Jesus might have done well to avoid, but he doesn't. He heals the woman so that she may have full release, full experience of the Sabbath, rest and freedom in God's grace. I think the religious official was so bound, perhaps even so blinded by one commandment, one rule, that he couldn't see the grace of God moving in the midst of that healing. When the ground moves under our feet, when things don't feel quite so stable, we reach for what once made us feel so certain. Tradition, memories, rules especially, family infighting, ways of doing ministry together, those things that bonded us together, we turn back to them thinking that they may give us new life. I feel for the religious leader. Things aren't the way that they used to be. And guess what? We're not going back either. Being a community of faith with the depth of familial bonds that Jesus commends to us is changing. We don't always know the way forward. More and more of our friends and our families and our coworkers and our neighbors have no positive experience of God's grace. None. The church is perceived as irrelevant, homophobic, racist, exclusive, and judgmental. Those are not bumper stickers I would want on the back of my car. And far too often, there's stories a dime a dozen. I mean, these aren't just broad stereotypes. People live it in their bones. They know that they have not experienced the grace of God in church before. We should be known for our compassion, our hospitality, our service. Everybody in Lakeside should know that this church opens its doors so that persons who have no home have a place to rest their head. Whether you walk into a gas station or the nursing home, they should be able to say, that church down the street's doing that. That's worth putting on a bumper sticker. Known for generosity, for inclusivity, for unrelenting love. Those are things that the Church of Jesus Christ should be known for in the world. In the broad sweep of Scripture, Genesis to Revelation, the God that we worship is one who authors life out of the most unfavorable and despairing conditions. The prophet Isaiah announces, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." The prophet Ezekiel envisions that a valley of dry bones that have no life are given new breath and flesh. In Jesus Christ, God's show of power is over death. Death never has the last word, no matter how despairing it seems. The grace of God is not done with us yet. Our calling from God as a community of faith, this community of faith, is as valid as the day the cornerstone of the church was set and then a few years back at that tent revival. For 75 years, the community of Lakeside has been cared for and loved, served, and made whole because of your witness. We're celebrating today. What a beautiful anthem. Today is a celebration of what has taken place here. And tomorrow morning, there will be no shortage of opportunity to continue to be in ministry. For every church from here to the West Coast that laments that Sunday school classes aren't full anymore, that the nursery and the children's wing is not as lively as it once was. God has given all of these churches a neighborhood. There are single mothers working three jobs in this neighborhood to make ends meet. Their children go to school just down the road at Lakeside Elementary. God has entrusted those families to your care. They're immigrants and refugees who now live in this community. And they can tell you exactly what the grace of God has done. Like in the Exodus story, they have been delivered to freedom out of the most despairing circumstances. Your neighbors are living the Exodus story, and we are called to surround them with love and with care and with hospitality. And this is needed more so now than ever because our public narrative is racist, it is xenophobic, and it is nonsense. Our refugees have places among us. That is the Mosaic law. That is the ministry of Jesus Christ, and that is our calling. The church needs to show up as peacemakers. Our Muslim neighbors are being scapegoated because we are fearful, we are anxious, and there's prejudice deep down in our bones. African American men and women risk their lives in something as mundane as a traffic stop. We see this in our morning news. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to show up, to speak truth into our shared life, and to demonstrate that the grace of God is for all of us. Every single one of our neighbors is called beloved. Our neighbors' lives depend on this proclamation. In every block of this community, there is someone who struggles daily with addiction to alcohol, to narcotics. And despite their best attempts to become free, the demonic power of addiction holds them in bonds. For some, it's ruined families, it's ruined marriages. And you can be a supportive community. I believe you already do this with NA, with AA, with Al-Anon meetings here in this building. This building is a ministry center so that others can come in and experience freedom. We call that resurrection when someone experiences sobriety. People's lives depend on your readiness to continue to host them. There are older adults who live in this community, metropolitan Richmond. Some are isolated relationally. For others, their homes are crumbling in around them as they make that journey through the last stretch of life. God has given them to you. And you have been fruitful in ministry for so many years on this front. Brenda Banham and Bill and Donna and Chris and Vicky, and I apologize for the others I have not named, have been formative for me and for so many other young people who are here and across Central Virginia with Richmond Metro Work Camp, a ministry that has done housing rehabilitation, but it's also put young adults in direct relationship with their neighbors that I guarantee you they would not have met otherwise. That ministry processed from a place of worship out into the streets to demonstrate the love of God for all of our neighbors, for all of the communities that we live and work and play in. And I think it's more fair, I think it's more than fair to say that Reverend Lindsay Banham and I are far better pastors because of that ministry, Bill. We understand what it's like to be in relationship across racial boundaries and economic boundaries. And that ministry has enlivened the summers of so many youth and young adults that have grown up in this church. If only every community had such a ministry. 25 years from now, when you celebrate your centennial, there will be single moms. There will be those in recovery, those who have found refuge in this community, who will be able to share witnesses of faith that their lives are far better, that they know that they are called beloved by Almighty God every day that they wake up, because this building is here, but more importantly, because this community of faith worships here and then goes out to be in service the other 6 days of the week. If you pour yourselves into this neighborhood, extending deep hospitality, offering inclusive love, and modeling the breadth of love that comes from God in Jesus Christ, you have a bright, bright future in front of you. You have been faithful. You have been fruitful these past 75 years. Well done, good and faithful servants. So I'll leave you with this. Listen to the call of Jesus Christ. Here is your son. Here is your mother. Here is your father. Here is your sister. Go and bear love to those whom God has entrusted to your care. And may the blessings of Almighty God through the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day forward. And the church said, Amen.